And then, so this we've seen in many times Prabhupada has discussed. But in this particular purport, then Prabhupada also mentions two other qualities. And that is the point that the boy is also, the boy is trained to be sensitive to and take care of the needs of the wife. And the girl is taught to be satisfied with whatever that the father, the husband, or the son can provide. So the brahmachari, or both, they're trained in this principle of how to take the consciousness off of the senses. So both the boy and the girl are trained to be able to restrain the senses and to concentrate the attention on spiritual values. And then the boy is taught in the austerities or the simple lifestyle, because in this simple lifestyle then they are able to properly fix their mind on spiritual values. And the girl is being trained in the principles of dharma or the religious activities or how to fix the mind in one place. So then this naturally gives rise to the second qualities, the next point. In other words, a boy cannot be worried about others if he hasn't controlled the senses. So for the naistika brahmachari, then that specifically means to worry about others for the preaching, for working for others' benefit. And then for the upakurvana, this means that preaching spirit is there, but at the same time, that practice is necessary, how to become sensitive to the needs of the wife. Hmm. If the senses aren't controlled, then it is not easy for them to come out of the desire to take care of their own needs. So that sensitivity, that has to be developed. And for the girl, then unless there's chastity, unless the mind is fixed in one place, then we cannot have satisfaction. Because if the mind is not fixed, then the tendency will be to be selfish. And so satisfaction cannot be there with what she receives. These two points, these two principles, are the basis for the marriage to work. They sound very simplistic, but if we look at it, why a marriage will fall apart, it is because of these two things. It means there's a lack of sensitivity on both sides. The man will just take care of his own interests and ignore the needs of the wife. And the girl will be simply worried about her needs and will be pushing the man to bring more and more facilities. Means a person only has so much ability. Because when we work with the material nature, I mean, we're either getting what we deserve by our karma or what Krishna wants to give us. There's not a third path. So it is only foolishness if we think we will get more by another means. So if the girl understands this from a very young age, then life becomes very easy. Because the next step is to understand it is Krishna who's controlling, Krishna who's providing. Because that's one of the symptoms of surrender, is understanding Krishna is our maintainer, Krishna is our protector. And if we don't see that, then that means we're not understanding the philosophy. And that will mean our endeavors will be unnatural. So much, he will get so much result. And if we want to try, foolishly try to get more, then there's only one way we can do that. That means we have to take time away from spiritual life, means don't chant, don't read, don't go to Mangalarti, all these things, don't go to Bhagavatam class, and then spend that time trying to get more facility. Then we can endeavor, but still we will not get anything more than we deserve. As we cannot get more than we deserve, no matter what we do. But what will happen is then the husband, then he loses his spiritual strength. So then that means, as we discussed yesterday, that the man will not be able to work properly on the analytical platform, at least not in spiritual. Only out of sentiment he can work so hard. If he thinks about it, he'll think, why I should work so hard. So then that means that the purpose of marriage has been lost. If the purpose of the combination between man and woman is for the man to help the wife in these analytical field, then that has been lost. So then If the wife has more desire than what can be provided, then that means the husband cannot actually perform his function in the marriage agreement. So then this means the modes of passion will be, if we follow this, the modes of passion, the modes of ignorance will be reduced. And then then in that situated in that mode of goodness, then on the platform of duty, then things go very peacefully. And if we don't, that means we want more, that's the mode of passion. We think we can get it, that's the mode of ignorance. We're not understanding how the modes of nature work. Or that we don't understand how Krishna works. So then then it becomes very difficult. And if the, and then on the other hand, if the boy is not sensitive to the needs of the wife, then he's not taking that endeavor to try to take care of the needs. So his nature will also stay very miserly, or very self-centered. So if we look at it, you generally will find that the breakup of marriages comes down to these two things. So this is the training, the main training for the boy and for the girl. Unfortunately, you missed the first part. Ganga had two questions. One was, how do we understand how much we endeavor, how much we get result from our endeavor? And the second is different devotees will have different standards. Someone can live in a hut, someone has to live in a palace. So how do we understand where that balance is? So basically, the principle is that one has to work according to one's nature. Prabhupada mentions, I think it's in the 11th canto, that the perfection of duties is that we do our duty according to our nature for the Lord. So if we do our duty for the Lord, that is dharma. And if we don't do that our duty for the Lord, that is called adharma. So even if you follow our nature, but it's not for the Lord, then according to the path of Bhagavad Dharma, this is adharma. So Prabhupada mentioned that the devotees should be willing to work as hard as the karmis. Yes, we have to be willing to work what is according to our nature fully. Srila Prabhupada pointed out we have to take care of our spiritual development. So that means we have to chant, we have to read, we have to associate with devotees, attend the programs. And in the balance time, we should use that to do something practical for Krishna. And then it is up to Krishna what he wants to give. Because Krishna knows us the best. We remember this life. We don't remember the other life. So how certain desires have come, we don't know. So then Krishna knows how to break those desires. So he will act in such a way that he will fulfill the desires but at the same time remove them. So in this regard, Prabhupada mentions he is known as Hari. So he says Hari with 10 hands. If he wants, he can take everything away. We have 2 hands. What you'll do against 10 hands? If he wants to give with 10 hands, how much he can give? That in the spiritual realm, there's no shortage of opulence. So when Krishna is pleased, naturally Lakshmi likes to provide. But sometimes if our mentality is not correct, sometimes Krishna will not give. Like Baliraj, he had the whole universe. It took everything away. And he did nothing wrong. He got control of the universe by proper worship of his guru. And Indra lost the kingdom because he offended his guru. And Bali Maharaj appreciated the beauty and the effulgence of Vamanadev. He, as a good king, he was giving charity to the Brahmins. And Vamanadev asked for 3 steps. And he said, "You're so small, your 3 steps would be so little. Take more." And so he did everything very nicely. But then after Krishna tricked him and took the whole universe in 2 steps, then when he saw that he couldn't provide the 3rd step, then he captured him, he bound him with the ropes of Varuna, he insulted him. And so then then a discussion started at that point. And Balaram Raj pointed out that, yes, it is by the Lord's grace that everything is taken away and we lose our attachments. And then that was spoken by Bali Maharaj, and then Vamanadev, he made another point, that one, that it is only by the Lord's grace, of course, that he takes everything away. So, but even more wonderful is when Krishna gives and the devotee does not become proud. Means, that's why humbler than a blade of grass. If you have nothing, it's easy to be humble. But if you have everything, then it's a little more difficult. And we see in the lives of the acharyas, it's not that this function only happens to us. Prabhupada, he, as a grihastha, he lost everything. Then, when he was vanaprastha in India, he still could get nothing. And then, when he went to America, whatever little he had gained, he also lost that. Then after that, then Krishna gave so much. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in a very aristocratic and wealthy family. Yeah. But by 12 years old, everything was lost and he was out on the street. And we see the other acharyas, they also, similar, they lost everything. Narottam Das Thakur, he also lost, everybody lost. So they're not complaining. So now we have to learn how Krishna works. Means we're working for Krishna, so we should know how he works. Prabhupada points out that if we cannot, something happens and we cannot find what is the cause for it, understand that Krishna is the cause because he's the ultimate cause of everything. And use this as a means to surrender. So, therefore we work, and whether we get or we don't get, we must stay surrendered to Krishna. Means if things are coming, Krishna is pleased. If things are not coming, Krishna is trying to tell us something. But in either case, it is his mercy. He's not overly worried, he'll just leave it to the modes of nature to take care. But because he cares, therefore he gets involved. Because he knows the whole scene. Mother may be feeding so many things to the child. But if the child is sick, there may be some restriction in what they get to eat. Now, the child may think, what's going on? My mother doesn't like me anymore. But it's actually because she likes the child that she's doing this. If she didn't like, she'd let him eat anything. Who cares? So like that, we have to see that it is Krishna who's in control. So then, a side point of... Yeah. So then with this, we work, and then what comes, we are happy with. As Krishna pointed out to Arjuna, yes, you can leave the battlefield, go to the forest, but because your nature is to fight, you'll get into a fight in the forest. Arjuna spent a huge amount of time. He went 12 years to the forest on his own, then 12 years, 13 years with his brothers, and they grew up in the forest. And so many fights were happening there. Except for the battle of Kurukshetra, every fight he had all happened in the forest. Therefore, Krishna said, yes, you go to the forest, but I'll be laughing because you'll be fighting there. Therefore, someone must work according to their nature. But it's not whether we do it for Krishna or whether we don't. Then, on the second point, is then we have to see what comes easily, that is how we have to live. Means, what is our means and what is our desire, we have to bring them next to each other. So it's recommended that one keeps one desire lower than what one receives. Because this satisfaction of having more or less is basically just the mind. A little bit more, when we get that little bit more, we want more than that. So like that it goes on. So it's just very much individual according to one's own mind. So basically what comes easily, take that, live with that to what, how one is comfortable. And we find it's less than what we are happy, then maybe Krishna is trying to point out something. Because Krishna is happy to give so much due to some difficulty either in our mentality or something, maybe Krishna is restricting. Because one of the six duties of the brahmana is to give in charity. And he receives pratigraha and he gives dana. Means, like we read in the scriptures, that this king gave each brahmin 10,000 cows. Right. What will the brahmin do with 10,000 cows? For the practice that Rupa Goswami gave is whatever you get, you give some of that away and then you live on less than that. Because then that gives us that we purify by that charity and we learn to live at a more simple level, whatever it is. So in this way we see what Krishna gives and then according to that we live. We may make a plan, we may endeavor, But if it doesn't work like that, then we take it as the Lord's arrangement and then live according to that. Then life becomes easy. The man is working hard, bringing many things, basically because he wants to please the wife and family. Basically, the man is, you know, very simple. Sleep in a corner somewhere, a nice dirty corner. You know, roll his cloth up, throw it in the other corner. And, you know, that's it. Close the door, no one bothers him. Take some rest, read a little, finish. To please the family, then he'll work hard, bring so many things and all that. Therefore, the principle for the girls, that they be are satisfied with whatever comes easily, then maintains this principle of charity. Because if the relationship is pleasant between the husband and wife, the wife keeps asking why the husband will not give. So this principle of being able to live according to one's means, give in charity, and, you know, keep the mind peaceful on this area, then is dependent upon that peacefulness of the wife. Right. And even if we see that a man is very interested in having, you know, big place and all kinds of wealth and facilities, that's generally to attract a woman. To show that he is actually able to provide, that he is a shelter, he's strong. But otherwise, on his own, then, you know, very simple. Man is very simple. So that sensitivity is very important, to be there on both sides. What is the actual happiness that one is gaining in those first short time of association between the man and the woman? It is the sensitivity that each one is having towards each other. Be careful, what does the woman want, how will they go, this, that, do we sit here, do we not, do we this, that, and the woman is doing the same thing. Because in the beginning, each one is being very careful to be sensitive to the others and try to not disturb the other. So, and that creates that working mood, that everything will go nice, everything will eternally be wonderful. And of course, that is assisted by the hormonal experience that is happening. And of course, within a few months, those go away. Thinking that is the cause. We think that is love. It means love was just some hormones. Means between living entities, then you have what's called sthayibhav. All these sthayibhav and all these anubhav and vyavacharibhavs, all these happen between in the spiritual realm, between Krishna and his devotees. But in the material world, then we don't have this love. It's based on the desire to get some sense gratification. So when we think we're going to get something, here looks like the person I can get that with, then, you know, the hairs stand on end, you know, then, you know, one becomes devastated and all kinds of interesting things. Yes, so much poetry is spoken. The whole world becomes beautiful. But after 6 months, somehow or another, mysteriously, then we become used to that. The adrenaline is not there anymore. The hormones go back to their normal work. And then we are stuck with, who is this person? Then, so then, look proper anymore. One wonders what's wrong here. It's the other person, must be. But the actual thing, in the practical, that was just some emotional experience. But the main thing, or not even emotional, it's physical. But what was the actual emotional thing was the sensitivity to the other person's thinking, movements, desires. Hmm. So if one can understand that, one's trained in that, that can go for the rest of the life. So that doesn't disappear after 6 months. So that's based on duty. And natural, and then naturally, by working together, attachment develops. So the sooner we understand this, then the sooner things work properly. So that principle, it's very, very important. Just like Prabhupada said, is our philosophy is very simple. We're servants of Krishna, you chant Hare Krishna, you go back to Krishna. Philosophy is very deep. So in the same way, principles of culture are very simple. But from that principle, so much detail is there. So you have to be very expert to understand what is principle, what is detail. Is generally what happens, why it's very hard to apply the culture, is because we'll take a principle as a detail or a detail as a principle. This place is circumcised, just like chant 16 rounds. That is the principle.
Methods you can say this one, then, yeah. And another one.
See, there's because, and then how we'll chant that? We chant it in the temple, we chant it on the road, we chant it on the bus to Calcutta. That may be different. But the principle of chanting 16 rounds always remains. Huh? Is that now clear?
The methods for application.
Yes, methods of application and the what you're applying.
The principles.
Yes, so we have to know what principles are and then become expert, because we know what the principle's for, to apply it in all the different times and place circumstances. So if we can develop that, then it becomes much more easy. And, yes.
You mentioned about the Naishthika Brahmachari vows.
Mention?
About the Naishthika Brahmachari.
Huh.
Now, somebody wants to come to that stage of being Naishthika Brahmachari. So what is the procedure, or what is the process, the simplest process to achieve that position?
Okay. The question is that, we've described about the Brahmachari, the Brahmacharini who wish to get married. What about those who don't want to get married? For the Naishthika. Hmm. So basic principle is Brahmachari means student. As a Brahmachari means we have to always maintain that attitude. So a student is always submissive. Huh. He always is working for the benefit of the guru and the ashram. He's always living simple, always trying to control the senses, and not interested in trying to establish himself or, you know, have some position, some prestige, some facility from that. It means na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. So that's why it said a brahmachari, if he's rightly situated, already is 50% of the way back to Godhead. He's already started at that shloka. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kami. Because that shloka is the middle of the nine levels. That's right at the middle. Means you have Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, so that mood is the middle. Therefore, 50%. So that means that, therefore, the Brahmacharis are respected by the society and they're valued because of their position of advancement. That's why we say it's not the Orange Club. Just because you put on orange doesn't mean 50% now is completed. It's a mentality. So therefore, to maintain this mentality, we can see there cannot be politics, there cannot be fighting over facilities, there cannot be trying to establish oneself as the most prominent and most wonderful. Yes, no rajniti.
Politics.
Yes. So in other words, basically you have to surrender today. Not tomorrow, today. The path of surrendering fully tomorrow, that is the path of the grihastha. Huh. So therefore, the Naishthika Brahmachari is a very special position. So we have to understand that so we don't make fools out of ourselves. Like now, what you look at what talks go around the Brahmachari ashram today. You look at them, you'll see that they're dealing with either dhanam, janam, or sundarim. The mess is that, is the Brahmachari dharma is not being followed. So it's a mentality, it's not the look, as we described about the top of the line second class brahmachari that we discussed the other day. See, the padati for the Naishthika Brahmachari, the padati for the sannyas, these are very simple, because it's just a matter of hear these things, you surrender right now, and fine. I think it's 13 shlokas Narad Muni describes the brahmachari.
13 shlokas?
Yeah, 13 shlokas. It's 8th canto? 7th canto. Starting with the shloka Brahmachari Guru Kule. Huh? Vasanta Danta Guror Hitam. With that shloka. It's the first shloka of that chapter. Very simply described, right? But now, if one can't do that, then Krishna gives that process how you can surrender. And that's by going properly through the grihastha ashram, those same qualities will come. So for the honest devotee, or the sincere devotee, he doesn't care whether you get it today or you get it tomorrow, as long as you're getting it. Because when you have those qualities, you go back to Godhead. Like that. So the brahmacharis, they have no problem if somebody wants to get married, because they're getting married to get those qualities. And the grihasthas have no problem with the brahmacharis, because they know that they are in the process of either getting those qualities or preparing to go through the grihastha ashram. then the social system functions. Hmm?
Then two dangers I mentioned last time also, that we can fall down from the offenses and in the rest ashram by being attached to the
So what's the that's
so
just the point?
This is not a point. Like this kind of thing can come and then how do
So they saying so then the there is the possibility from the from being a Naistika Brahmacharya or being a good Grihastha that one due to offenses can fall from that platform. Therefore the devotee always keeps the devotional path, the devotional process as most prominent in his life, and then that is supported by his duties within the social culture.
You said that Naistika Brahmacharya helped this Madana Jana Sundar. This means that Grihastha Brahmacharya, he shouldn't maintain this mood.
Ah, yes. He's saying that the Brahmachari, the Naistika Brahmachari, he has to work on that platform, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. So what about the Grihastha Brahmachari? He shouldn't also maintain that. It's just the principle is one who can remain as a Naistika Brahmachari, that realization has come. While for the Grihastha Brahmachari, he understands it and he's trying to situate himself in that. That's why there's not so much distinction is made. The point is everyone should take the medicine that they need for their particular disease. So we must be honest enough to know what is our medicine, and we must be broad-minded enough to accept others' needs and their medicine. Yes.
On the level of consciousness, the ashram is a level of consciousness, our mentality. So it appears that you're already situated in a particular ashram. Now, if we realize ourselves where we're at the moment, then we'll understand exactly what ashram we're in. But what is that right? But if what part does choice play in this? That I can choose my own ashram, or I can think which ashram I want to enter, because actually the ashram is already there according to your nature. And can you change your nature, or what choices?
Oh, I see. Pangajangri Prabhu is making the point is that by nature, by our conditioned nature, we'll be situated in a particular ashram anyway. So is it a matter of our choice, or is it a matter of, or, you know, what determines that?
Can we change?
Oh, can we change that? There was something more?
Can we change our nature?
Yeah, at the present moment. So if we understand what ashram we're actually in, but we say you want, I prefer to be a Naistika Brahmachari, but I actually understand I'm not, that's not my position, but I want to go for it anyway, something like that.
So the, basically nature is there, but if we can try to accelerate the process, we can try to make the process go quicker. But just as we were discussing before, the Grihastha, he makes his endeavor, he has his plans, but he has to see what Krishna's, you know, desire is we can make that endeavor, and if we get the result, then fine. But if we're not getting the result, then we have to accept the reality. So the Prabhupada always says we should shoot the rhinoceros. So we always try for the top. So no one can shoot a rhinoceros. So if we fail, then no one can complain, because no one can do it. But if we do it, then everyone will go, ah, this is very special. But if we don't, no one will complain. If we keep that as goal, then we're always endeavoring. There's always some fresh inspiration. We should never think, oh, I cannot do it. Because no living entity belongs here. Everybody belongs in the spiritual realm. So everybody can go back to Godhead. So we just try our best and depend upon Krishna. In this mood, we can associate with the devotees and then share our realizations, share, you know, what we've done, what was the results that we have gotten. Then things go nicely. Because realization is realization. It is good for everybody. What is your question? Oh, yeah.
This is on the same point. The brahmachari, he is trying, like you said, endeavoring to remain a brahmachari, aspiring for this nashti brahmachari level. What are the ways in which he can see, like you say, well, he's not working. How do you see that? How can a brahmachari understand that this is not working?
Mm.
I am endeavoring, because he may think that, well, I should do it this way. If I do it, maybe I'm not doing this enough, or I'm not doing that enough, or I'll change this, or I'll change that, and then it will work.
Mm.
So at what point, and how does he understand that I'm actually, this is not working, I should go for the simpler process?
And how long he should take to do that?
How long he should take to do that? He go for 10 years, 15 years, and then he decides, or you know, 50 years old, he says, well, I can't make it, and now let me find a 20-year-old wife.
Well, that happened with Saubari Muni. He was already an old wrinkle, you know.
That time he was 60,000 years old.
Yeah, only 60,000 years old. Then he went to the king and said, I would like to marry your daughters, all 100 of them. And then the girls laughed at him because he was such an old man. And then he thought, okay, I'll show you. He went out and then his mystic powers became a beautiful young man. Then he came back and then they all thought, yes. So the basic principle, Prabhupada says, one can tell one's advancement by one's jnana and vairag, by one's knowledge, one's gaining of Krishna, understanding, and his detachment from the material nature. So if that is coming in the brahmacharya ashram, and one is becoming inspired, the service is going nicely, and he is able to maintain that humble, submissive, you know, service attitude, then it's working for him. The thing is that it's not coming. There's too many obstacles. He's not inspired enough. There's a lot of time where one spaces out, you know, mind goes otherwhere, one can't use one's time properly, then one should discuss with others and take advice. It means the whole process has to be done in the association of devotees, both as brahmacharya, as grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. The whole thing has to be with interaction of devotees. So always that kind of association and discussion has to be going on. So if one sees that enthusiasm is not there, the steadiness is not there in the service, then because being steady in service is the most important, then one must find that situation in which he can be steady.
Steady,
stira, nishta. Because it must be understood, everyone has so much material desire in the heart. If we didn't have, we wouldn't be here in the material world.
Hmm.
And if you don't have and you're here, then that means you're some avatar, some of the nitya siddhis who've come down. Oh, you let us know by some subtle way and we'll, you know, somehow or another try to reciprocate in the proper way, like that. Otherwise, everyone has. So it's a matter of what path you can get rid of them. So as a brahmachari, if we are able to get rid of them, then that is good. Simple. If one can't, then the grihastha ashram is meant for that. It's meant to reduce desire, not increase.
Hmm.
Like that. Does that make some sense?
A few points. One is the time frame.
Oh, time frame. Yeah, I forgot to speak
and,
on the time frame.
The other is, I've often heard a very important point is one's attraction to the opposite sex.
Of course.
How much that is not.
How much is there, yes.
How to measure the attachment and in which degree?
Yeah.
What is the limit that
can change
the
outcome? Yeah. The one must make a balance between enough time to properly get trained and enough time to reserve for the proper function of the grihastha ashram. You kind of have two situations. For the first generation, it's a little more difficult because they may join at any time. So if one is comes to in contact with Krishna consciousness at a very young age, then generally one will find that the late teens, early 20s, it becomes kind of more obvious. But if we join kind of at that age, then we may take some more time. We may be middle, late 20s, but latest we should be try to make this decision in the very early 30s. Finished.
If somebody joins at the age of 30?
Well, if they've joined at the age of 30, they haven't been married, they haven't been dealing with the women, then it might not be so difficult. But if they've, you know, already been married, you know, so many times and this and that, then it might be a little different.
Prabhupada mentioned, if you once you reach 35, then you might as well give up the idea. 35.
Yeah. Pankajangi Prabhu mentioned that Prabhupada said once you reach the age of 35, then one should, by that time, give up the idea if one hasn't already gotten married. Because problem comes if one gets married much later than that, then a few problems come. One is that if we want to look at a proper marriage, proper running of the course of marriage, you need 15, 20 years. Because children have to grow up, these kind of things. One has to take care. Other thing, especially for the men, then after that age, then especially the older one gets, the more chance there is of having girls and not boys. As Nanda Baba, he was very surprised when in the morning they found that there was a male child. He expected a female because he was old at the time. And so a girl, one cannot just leave. One has to properly bring up, train, get, one has to hand over to the husband. It means these details we'll discuss when we come to the Grihastha section. So, you know, what are the technicalities of that? But the point is that it becomes difficult the later. And then on the other side, then see is always, as long as we're conditioned, some attraction is always going to be there. So as long as we follow the rules that are there for the ashrams in association or not, you know, either restriction or not so much restriction, we follow that and the mind can stay peaceful and one can work, then that is okay. But if we find that following the restrictions, the mind still has so much force that is dragging us away, then that generally means it's better to change. And one can check that against also the nature. Like if you have someone who doesn't have much, you don't see in their character much need or desire for any of these subtle forms of sense gratification, of distinction, adoration, profit. But then some sudden attraction comes. That may just be some, you know, some temporary. The modes are just very strong. And generally one can try to help someone get over that. And if we're able to get over that period, then nice. But if we find that that attraction is there and we see that the subtle desires are also seeming to manifest, then it's very natural for marriage. That's for someone who is saying, no, I will be Naistika Brahmachari. But if someone just sees by training, understanding nature, and he doesn't have interest in this distinction, adoration, and profit, but he finds that the attraction is very strong, and he feels that that would be a safe situation, then that's also a very natural position to get married. Because in any case, that's considered first class. That'll be the first class Upakurvana Brahmachari. He doesn't have those qualities, but he knows that that will be the best path. Someone who has that desire for distinction, adoration, and profit, that's not first class. They will have difficulty as a grihastha. So better they try to remove that before getting married. Does that make any sense? Okay. I think he had, I'll get, sorry, cut him off about 5 times. Is it on this point or some other?
It's on the same point, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a question that I just seen in practical life that some devotees choose for Naistika Brahmachari. The sense of Naistika Brahmachari gets matured very quickly, earlier than Purvana Brahmachari civilization. Then authorities generally think that this devotee is qualified, that is given a position because he can serve nicely. So you just explained at the very beginning that Naistika Brahmachari serves.
but he doesn't have any desire for distinction from annihilation. But due to this accepting the service, he will have to deal with Lakshmi and whatever. So should one give up his brahmachari following the austerity process?
Oh, I see. You were saying something else?
No, just the same question. But
slightly different.
Just the whole issue of brahmachari and varna, what are appropriate varnas for brahmachari. So I think basically the same.
So oh, I see. Yeah, so, combined question of that if someone's a nice Dika brahmachari, and is doing nicely, they advance very nicely, so it many times it's natural to see to give them a position of responsibility or authority. Then in that position they have to deal with money, they may have to deal with the women in the temple, so many different things. So then there's always the chance of all these, how do you say? These difficulties of becoming attracted by these subtle sense gratifications. So then the question is this a kind of service one should do, or is it a matter of, well then we, to do that we should give up that ashram, become grihastha, or
we should give up the responsibility.
Yeah, or give up the responsibility, or his point was just, it was about should the brahmacharis be doing that in the first place? Depend upon the nature of the responsibility and the situation. Because in any case, it's not going to be very easy, or it's not very, very much recommended that the brahmachari has to deal with any difficulties that the ladies may be having. But in the Vedic culture, the natural thing is the problems with women, problems with the grihasthas that they have, the natural needs and the facilities and all that is taken care of by the community itself. So ideally that kind of dealings shouldn't have to be there. So then the responsibilities have to be developed in that way. That means that based on a spiritual foundation, there has to be very good cooperation to organize and manage. So that very much depends upon how you organize the situation. So this kind of gets a little bit into a different area. Get into management structures and other things like that. The principle is that one should not jeopardize one's spiritual life because right now the discussion we're mainly concentrating on ashram. So if we want to get into varna, then that needs a whole different... We've done all the foundation on the ashram side.
Ashram, we're discussing about ashram.
Yeah.
So when we will discuss about the varna, all these things...
Yes, yeah.
Just to clarify though, because you mentioned how several things, how the devotee, brahmachari, wanting to remain brahmachari, he can understand that how to go, very much related to his service. If he's able to do his service very nicely and he's making advancement and not disturbed in his service, then he can go on like that. But if his service is being disturbed, then he should think maybe a better situation is in the Grihastha ashram.
Yeah.
So when we speak of varna in the Bhagavad Dharma, then it's our service.
Yes.
So that's why I think it seems to be very related. How
it is related, but then one may decide to change service.
And so this is the question, whether... is it more appropriate to change, should you try to change your service, or is that easier to change your service? Because varna is also related to your nature and your qualities and your position.
Can, but it's like, if one has the ability to manage and organize, one should just manage and organize something else. Instead of manage the temple, one can manage the Sankirtan or manage the deity department and manage something else. Like that. So that kind of organizational ability will remain, but one may organize in a different way. One may, take up organizing the congregational preaching or, something else, and then let someone who can deal in that situation, who's more qualified, let them take that. So there very much has to be amongst devotees the mood of cooperation and the lack of, ego, that I'm losing something.
I could relate in Bombay, Draupadi temple there, they tried to organize to protect the brahmacharis from having to, although they also organize things, they're involved in, you know, various things, but they're protected by the grihasthas from having to deal with these other situations.
Oh yeah, that's the best. Basically, he made the point is that in the ideal situation, then those things that are not so proper for the brahmacharis to do, then the grihasthas take care of those, and that protects the brahmacharis. He gave the example of Chopati.
They don't go out and preach on the...
No, they preach. See, the thing is the brahmacharis stick to... They're the president, they run the temple, they run the deity worship, they manage the brahmacharis, they organize the preaching. But they don't generally deal with the big, big finance, they don't deal with the legal things, they don't deal with who gets married to who lives where, who gets what job, difficulties with the grihasthas, counseling the grihasthas, that they don't deal with.
The thing is, you know, where you are going and preaching to the grihasthas will come out, they have different problems and you have to deal with their
means
problems.
There's a difference in the level. Means that they're just, you know, in Krishna, how to be Krishna conscious in that situation they may speak on. But if they say that this morning I got up and my wife said this to me and then I said that and then this happened, then that thing you leave for the more experienced. Means at the level of where the rocks are.
This evening you're speaking of the importance of being steady. Can you define that, please?
Define steady. In that question about the brahmachari? Okay. So, basically question on what is steady? So steady would mean that we're fixed in our determination to become Krishna conscious. You know, fixed in following the process. And generally, in our service, we're able to perform it, you know, properly without being unduly... disturbed due to mental anxiety, means outside the service, not the anxiety with the service, anxiety outside the service. We do our service and all the time we're thinking of something else, you know, because the senses are disturbed or, you know, something. Some emotional need is there and it's not being addressed in the ashram situation. Because each one, the service is dependent upon the ashram and the service. Service, it doesn't match the ashram, so that has to be proper. Then it disturbs our service. Therefore, it's called varn ashram. You have to mix together, then create the situation, the ideal situation to perform our service. Makes some sense? Okay. Tomorrow, if we like, we can continue tomorrow. That would be the last day. And we'll basically reserve that for any questions of anything that has happened before. Srila Prabhupada ki.